1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting at verse number 14. Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, says, "Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all share the one loaf. Consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar? Do I mean then that food sacrificed to an idol is anything, or that an idol is anything? No. But the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God, and I do not want you to participate with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. Are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than he?" Paul, writing to the Corinthian church about communion or the Lord's Supper, what we have come to participate in as a fixture in the practice of the body of Christ. Last week, I began some comments in a series that we're going to talk about and continue this week and conclude next week that's focused on the table or the Lord's Supper or communion or Eucharist. Again, I know that many of you who grew up in churches of Christ aren't familiar with the term Eucharist, but the word Eucharist is a word that is one, very, very biblical. It's also what the early church, starting in probably late first century, early second century, called this gathering. They called it the Eucharist, which is a Greek word that means thanksgiving. We are in full thanksgiving mode. Some friendly advice: if you are preparing a turkey and you bought a frozen turkey, if you hadn't put that in a refrigerator by now, you're losing time. You're going to have to do the bathtub trick. You know, you don't want to get sick. You have to thaw it out in the bathtub. At least that's what experts say you need to do. I'm praying that the next several days for all of you will be filled with Thanksgiving bliss. I'm praying that you will all experience some rest, some reconnection with family. So good to see some of our college students back connecting with family. I go tomorrow to go get my daughter from down in Athens. Can't wait for that. So last week we began this series that will conclude next Sunday. We're taking time to focus on communion, this practice that has been a fixture in the Christian church for nearly 2,000 years. It's at the center of the life of the church. You see, we gather as a body of Christ to commemorate the broken body and the blood of Christ. Now, in the early church, this practice was referred to, as I've stated, Eucharist, Thanksgiving. There are some liturgies that go all the way back to the second century, worship orders that call this time the Great Thanksgiving. It's rooted in Thanksgiving. This time where Christians come together to eat the bread and drink wine during the assembly, the Eucharist. There was an early Christian by the name of Justin Martyr who wrote an apology or an explanation. He wrote this long explanation about the church and its practices. Now, he wrote this apology to the Roman government to explain what the church was doing and to convince the government that they were unfairly treating the church. This is what Justin wrote in about 155 AD. So this is a long time ago. This is one of the earliest recollections of an early Christian assembly. And this is a part of what he wrote in his apology. He wrote, "Having ended the prayers, we salute one another with a kiss. There is then brought to the president of the brethren bread and a cup of wine mixed with water. And he, taking them, gives praise and glory to the Father of the universe through the name of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and offers thanks at considerable length for our being counted worthy to receive those things at his hands. And when he has concluded the prayers and thanksgiving, all the people present express their assent by saying, Amen. This word, Amen, answers in the Hebrew language to genukto, so be it. And when the president has given thanks and all the people have expressed their assent, those who are called by us deacons give to each of those present to partake of the bread and wine mixed with water over which the thanksgiving was pronounced. And to those who are absent, they carry away a portion, and this food is called among us the Eucharist. The communion was a meal and remembrance rooted in thanksgiving. The early church gathered to give God worship and to give him thanks for his activity in the lives of the people. The Eucharist, an event instituted by Jesus Christ himself, was a meal that sought to invoke the memory of Jesus and his sacrifice for the body of Christ. So last week, just to review, we talked about us taking part in the Eucharist is thanksgiving as a way to celebrate the activity of God. We were rescued by the body and the blood of Jesus, so we celebrate and give thanks. We were liberated from the chains of sin and destruction, so we celebrate and we give thanks. We now enjoy new life in God because the body and the blood of Jesus, so we celebrate and we give thanks. We now enjoy a unified life with God and other followers of Jesus, so we celebrate and give thanks. The communion is our common union. It is an event that we take part of together. Paul's complaint to Corinth when he wrote to them, and we read in chapter 11 about the mistreatment of the Lord's Supper, had everything to do with them not understanding that this was a time for us to come together to not only celebrate God and what he has done, but celebrate one another. So he says, if you take the bread and drink the cup without thinking about the rest of the body, if some of you come in and you eat all the food, and then other people come in and there's no food left, if all of you, some of you come in here and you drink up all the wine, and then there's no wine left when others come in, you're not thinking about the rest of the body. If you need to get full with food, full with bread and meat, full with wine, go home and do that stuff. But here, this is about us coming together. This is about us celebrating our unity. This is about us celebrating our participation with one another. We celebrate God and we celebrate each other. That's what Eucharist is about. That's why we don't take Eucharist by ourselves. We take communion with each other. Now, Justin continues to write in his apology, and I find this to be very touching and very, very interesting. He continues to write. He says, then we all rise together and pray. And as we before said, when our prayer is ended, bread and wine and water are brought, and the president in like manner offers prayers and thanksgiving according to his ability. And the people assent, saying amen, and there is a distribution to each and a participation of that over which thanks have been given, and to those who are absent portions sent by the deacons. And they who are well-to-do and willing give what each thinks fit, and what is collected is deposited with the president, who helps the orphans and the widows and those who through sickness or any other cause are in want, and those who are in bonds, and the strangers sojourning among us, and in a word, takes care of all who are in need. Justin is talking about the offering. That when they come together, it's a very important time for us to come together and celebrate with bread and wine, the blood and the body of Christ, celebrating each other, our unity. It's also an opportunity for us as a body to come together and to present gifts, money, food, clothing items. And there were special servants in the church, deacons, who would take those things and they would distribute them to the orphans and to the widows and to the people who were traveling who needed some extra food or some things to help them on their way, or those who were in prison. Sounds a lot like what Jesus told his followers to do, to take care of the poor, to take care of the needy, to take care of the widows and orphans, to take care, to go visit people in prison, take care of people. The offering. Again, I said this last week. I know I grew up in church where, you know, when we came to the communion time, we would do communion, and then the person who was standing all over the table and citing the verses for communion and would do the bread and would do the cup. And then when we got to the offering, we were instructed to say, now, separate and apart from the communion is the offering. And I guess I understand why we said those things, wanting to make a distinction between the communion and the offering. We had to have five separate acts of worship. But I'm reading Justin's apology and his explanation, and it seems like the offering was an extension of the Eucharist. It was part of it. It wasn't separate and apart. It was, and now we collect and we contribute. Church, we have a lot to be thankful for in our lives. And when the church gathers to celebrate Eucharist, it is an expression of love and gratitude to God for his many blessings. And Justin, in his apology, also highlighted that when we gather, it is a time to share in these rich blessings that God has given us with one another. You see, the blessings that God has given us, God hasn't intended for us to just clench onto them, but to share. Offering isn't separate and apart from the Eucharist. It is an important extension of the communion, the Eucharist, the Lord's table. So by extension, as we receive, we also give. It fills my soul. I mean, absolutely fills my soul with great joy to know that this church is a church that excels in abundant generosity. I mean, allow me to share the way in which this church has been so generous. Money. This church, when prompted to give to causes, to the regular offering, to special offerings, this church excels at giving. You have done so over the year, even when there was a recession. I remember meeting with other ministers during the recession of like 2008, 2009, 2010, and they were talking about how their offering had just dipped so bad. They had to make some drastic cuts in some things. I want to tell you that particularly during that time, this church on average gave way more than the average church. You just excel at the way you give. But it's not just money. Church, this church excels in the way that it offers time. I'm talking the way that each and every one, I'm just looking at faces right now and I'm just thinking of episodes where you have given of your time. Time is precious. I wish we had 28 hours in a day and not 24. But with the 24 hours that we have, man, many of you have the right to be extremely selfish with your time. But time and time again, I see you offering your time and service to one another, service to the community. It's just amazing. You have given of your presence, the way that you offer your lives to one another, to comfort one another, to serve one another, to pray with one another, to be with one another. Many of you will go to a hospital and sit with friends and family for hours so that they're not alone in the hospital, you know, during their surgeries, or go sit with family. Some of you have gone to sit with family members of folks who are in surgery. You never met until that day, but you sat there because you did not want them to be alone. You're so generous with your presence. And I think one of the greatest gifts of generosity that, again, it just fills my my soul with joy is the way that you are so generous with grace. The way that you allow people to bug you and bother you and still extend with people you disagree with or people who are just really hard to love. I've witnessed loving relationships the way that you have given. So you give money, you give time, you give presence, you give grace. I believe that is an extension of the table. You see, having an understanding that God has given to us, and we celebrate this with bread and wine, grape juice, as a response to understanding what God has given us, as we think about a body broken and blood shed, man, we have been generous with gifts of money and time and presence and grace. Church, only one thing that I could ask as a minister of the gospel, minister of this church, and that is that we continue to be generous, that we continue to be abundant in our generosity, that we continue to be loving and forgiving and gracious, that we continue to give our time in service to one another, service to the community. Like in the second century, our gifts and generosity help the poor in money, and also the poor in spirit. It helps those who are hurting and suffering. It helps those who are lonely. So when we share in Eucharist, we are indeed sharing the cup of thanksgiving, for which we give thanks as we participate in the blood of Christ. And the bread that we break is the participation in the body of Christ. And because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all share the one loaf. Eucharist is about sharing our blessings and sharing our lives with one another. Eucharist is a celebration of our life in God, and it is a commitment to contribute our wealth and our lives to one another. You see, church, we are family. We are one. We are the body of Christ. He gave everything to us. So we, by extension, ought to give of ourselves to one another. So this morning, let us once again experience Eucharist. Servers, if you've been selected to serve, if you want to go, take your place to serve. Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, celebrating his last Passover, there was a moment during that dinner where he took a piece of bread. And after he had given thanks, Eucharisto, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body that is broken for you." Servers are going to come by and are going to give you a plate of bread. After you take a piece of bread, would you break off a piece for yourself? And as you pass the plate to the next person, if you would just quietly whisper to the person next to you, "Thank you for sharing in the body of Christ. Thank you for sharing in the body of Christ." Let's pray. God, thank you for the incredible blessings that you have bestowed upon us. And thank you for the body that was broken and given to us. God, as we take and receive the body of Christ, I pray that we would come to a deep understanding and gratitude of what that means. And in response, pray that we would too give of our lives, give of our money, give of our things, give of our time, give of our presence, give grace as you have demonstrated to us what it means to truly contribute. God, may our sharing in this bread, this one loaf, may it heal us. May it bind us together as one. And may it launch us to be your missional partners in the transformation of this world as one body. Thank you for giving to us and bless us to give. Thank you for sharing in the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. And after dinner, Jesus took a cup of wine, and after he had given thanks and blessed it, he said, "Take, drink from this cup. This is the shed blood from my body that has been shed for all of you." As you take your cup and you're passing it to the next person, if you would just share with them this blessing of God. Just thank the person next to you for being a part of the body of Christ. Just thank you for being in the body of Christ. Let's pray. God, thank you for the blood shed by Jesus. It's been shed for all men and all women for all time. God, we have been blessed and fortunate enough to say yes to your grace. God, there are many people right now who have not yet said yes to your grace. God, I pray that those who have not yet said yes will soon say yes. And I pray that the way that we contribute our money and time and our presence and our grace would convince people to say yes to your grace. God, thank you for making us one, for making us family. Thank you for inviting us to your table and participating in this cup of thanksgiving, this cup of blessing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing an additional song. This song is going to serve as our time of invitation. If there is something that the church can participate with you and serving you through prayer, through company, through presence, through time, and you want to make that known to the body, you can just step forward, come up here. We'll have some elders come forward and they'll receive you and hear what you have to say. If this is a moment where you want to cement your relationship with God through faith and confession and baptism, this is also an opportunity for you to make that known. You can make a profession of Christ right here in front of this body of Christ, and we will take you back there, and we'll baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Whether you come forward or not, I pray that the experience of Eucharist, Thanksgiving, propels us all forward to be better givers, because we have received from such a giving God. Amen? Hasn't He given us so much? Hasn't He blessed us so much? God has blessed us to be a blessing. So in giving thanks to God, we ought to give to others. This is our contribution. So as we sing this song, let's stand. If you need to come forward, we'll receive you right now.